Good evening and welcome to our Wednesday evening contemplative worship service. We're broadcasting live from this holy sanctuary of the Church of Conscious Harmony with two beloveds in front of me. And I'm grateful for Mary Ann, for Mary Leah, for Jim, and Michael, and Dan for being here with us tonight. I welcome all of you who are partaking by Zoom. May the Holy Spirit bless our service. We come from the Lord's table, which binds us all wherever we are, near or far. And I encourage you to partake in communion tonight. Perhaps you've prepared bread or a cup of juice or wine. If not, that's fine. I just ask that during communion here, hold in your hearts the intention of receiving the Eucharist and the cup if you haven't prepared at home in that way. We will share with you. Let's ask the Holy Spirit to be an influence of peace and wisdom through this time together, and that through our worship tonight, in some small way, the world would be blessed, and your home and your family and all you love would be blessed.
In the place of quiet, let us listen with the ear of the heart to God's word. Our first reading is taken from Deuteronomy Chapter 4. Moses spoke to the people and said, "Now, Israel, hear the statutes and decrees which I am teaching you to observe, that you may live and may enter in and take possession of the land which the Lord, the God of your fathers, is giving you. Therefore, I teach you the statutes and decrees as the Lord my God has commanded me, that you may observe them in the land you are entering to occupy. Observe them carefully, for thus will you give evidence of your wisdom and intelligence to the nations, who will hear all of these statutes and say, 'This great nation is truly a wise and intelligent people.' For what great nation is there that has God so close to it as the Lord our God is to us, whenever we call upon him? Or what great nation has statutes and decrees that are just as this whole law which I am setting before you today? However, take care and be earnestly on your guard, not to forget the things which your own eyes have seen, nor let them slip from your memory as long as you live. But teach them to your children and to your children's children." The word of the Lord. The second reading is taken from Psalm 147. Glorify the Lord, O Israel. Praise your God, O Zion, for he has strengthened the bars of your gates. He has blessed your children within you. He sends forth his command to the earth. Swiftly runs his word. He spreads snow like wool. Frost he strews like ashes. He has proclaimed his word to Jacob, his statutes and his ordinances to Israel. He has not done this for any other nation. His ordinances he has not made known to them. The word of the Lord. The gospel reading is taken from Matthew chapter 5. Jesus said to his disciples, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill. Amen, I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter or the smallest part of a letter will pass from the law until all things have taken place. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do so will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever obeys and teaches these commandments will be called greatest in the kingdom of heaven. The Gospel of our Lord and Savior.
This season of Lent is a very unique season for all of us. We certainly are fasting from more than we could have imagined. It's a wilderness season for people that weren't even aware it was a Lenten season. And it's a very significant moment to listen to ancient scriptures for guidance and wisdom. Every Lent, this time of year, midway through Lent, we start hearing indications in the gospel that things are getting interesting for Jesus and that trouble is brewing. And the gospel lesson for today indicates a moment where Jesus seems to be somewhat on the defensive, and actually the charge that will lead to Jesus' death has a lot to do with what Jesus said tonight in the gospel lesson, that he wasn't here to abolish the law, he was here to complete it or fulfill it. But the charge that got Jesus killed ultimately was that in some way he was dismantling the law, and that he didn't care about it anymore, or that he was claiming to be above the law. So it's appropriate in the middle of Lent to begin to start hearing these indications of the trouble that's brewing. But I'd like to focus our time tonight on the first reading from the book of Deuteronomy. And as a reminder to all of us, it's important to recognize that to the Jewish people, and at that point in history, there wasn't a book, there wasn't a scroll, there wasn't anything written on paper or even on stone. All that writing came hundreds of years later from this moment in time that Moses is articulating, at least through the words of Moses in the book of Deuteronomy. They're about to enter into the Promised Land. Now, bear in mind that this event of entering into the Promised Land occurs after they have been in the wilderness for a long time. Not a short time, a long time, and a time that was much longer than they ever could have imagined or thought or were even prepared for. And this is the deep tradition of the wilderness as being a place of preparation for all spiritual graduation, that the wilderness is a place of preparation for all spiritual graduation and evolution. That is to say, it seems as if that the season in the wilderness of wandering in the wilderness, of being pilgrims without any home, without any sense of security, sometimes not even knowing where their next meal was going to come from, much less where they were going, all was in support and preparation to their possibility of further evolution, represented by the idea of being in the Promised Land. So if we take that as an idea of the internal dimension of what we're seeking toward and what we're moving toward in the season of Lent, isn't some joyful season where we get everything we want, but it's this development that happens each uniquely in for us in different ways. So your Promised Land is going to be a little different from my Promised Land. There are certain qualities that are, you know, representative of the Promised Land, but each of us is moving into the Promised Land, which represents that next level of development, that next level of consciousness, that next level of love or capacity to be patient or kind or not reactive. And it's not just one Promised Land a year, you know, it's not just one Promised Land a lifetime. There are what we would call octaves of Promised Lands, cycles of Promised Lands. And this is very encouraging to us to recognize that all of our wilderness wanderings and all of our seasons of lack without any sense of guidance or any sense of are we going to get through this with no end in sight, are all purposeful in preparing us for our own inner promised land. And that is ultimately what I think Jesus is trying to say when he says, I'm not here to abolish the law, I'm here to complete it. So the pandemic is not here to abolish us, it's here to complete us. Our difficulties are not here to abolish us, they are here to complete us. And if we begin to understand that everything in life is here not to destroy us, but to transform us, it's a whole nother perspective. And this is an invitation for all of us to take the spiritual life into our daily life and reframe it. Now, the Jewish people, this is very interesting, and I was just reminded of this recently in a book I was reading about the Buddha nature and this notion that we say Christ is still with us and that the Buddha is still with us. Well, you know what the Jewish people said, and to some degree the Muslim people as well, they say that the Torah is still with us, that the first incarnation for the Jewish people was the Spirit of God, the Ruah, the Pneuma of God in the Word of God, the Torah of God, taught through the prophets and most of all through Moses. So it's fascinating that the first incarnation was one of the Logos embodied in language on this planet, what we would say would be the coding of a certain kind of influence, a higher influence embedded in the teaching of the wisdom through Moses that Marianne just read and through other prophets and teachers. And so if we begin to think about the law that Moses is calling the people to keep in mind, to bear in mind, to not forget, to remember, capital R, remember, it's not just the surface words that he's asking them to remember. He's literally asking them to remember the incarnation of the Logos among them in the form of wisdom through the teachers. And they went even so far as binding phylacteries on their arms and on their foreheads to keep the living word close to their mind and their heart. And that tradition developed because of what Moses taught them. But isn't it interesting that for all of us, we tend to sometimes throw the Bible out. I certainly have in my lifetime and preferred the silence or the Eucharist. But there's seasons in life, and we're living in one of them, where we need firm ground to stand on and to remember and bind to our hearts and to our minds that ancient Logos that was embedded in the law of God and the Word of God and that we now have bound in paper books or digitally. It's very significant influence. It's inspiring this very conversation right now. All of the scripture is here with us right now as a living incarnation, just as much as all as the living Christ is here right now in the Eucharist. So when Jesus says, I have not come to do away or abolish that law, what he's saying is, I affirm the evolutionary role the Logos has played in writing these scriptures as foundational for our evolution and growth. They are not to be overlooked. They are to be integrated into our lives at a spiritual level. But more than that, they are also to be transcended. And this is the invitation for all of us, that Jesus is here not to abolish the past, the call to remember the written word of God, the wisdom of God, but the invitation also to allow the Spirit to bring us to fullness of completion and evolution in our own little way, in our own little life. That will require leaving the safety and security of the literal Word of God and entering into what we would call the silence, which is the process of emptying out all sources of security, written or otherwise, that are related to the mind, and letting go of that and feeling into something deeper, a wisdom that's much deeper than just the written Word of God, that is the promised land. And to me, that would mean the presence, capital P presence, of the living mystery that we name as God or the Beloved or Source, felt inwardly, and then also not felt inwardly, in pure emptiness, in pure presence, which may not give us any indication of any feeling or any emotion or any thought. That is the promised land. It doesn't always seem that way, but it's deeply, profoundly fruitful. It's what we call the fruitful darkness. And it too has a season and leads to a resurrected light, or the transfiguration light, the Mount Taboric light. These teachings are all interconnected, that light and darkness are in a dance, and not only physically, but also spiritually in our lives. And so just on a very practical and implementing this in our lives, to take something away from these big ideas. We are in a wilderness season. We may not know the extent of this wilderness. We may feel terrified. The awareness that we don't know where our daily bread is coming from is real for the first time in my lifetime. I've read about such things. So we can take strength by heeding Moses' call, parents, don't let your children forget what we've been through. Teach them to fear the Lord. Teach them to remember the word, the teaching. Teach them to remember that there's more to this life than making money and eating and having restaurants open and bars open and partying and drinking and living all the good things. There's more to it than that. And this is a good time for all of us to take this strong medicine and use it as a big medicine for our transformation into a future promised land that will lead to deepening fruitfulness in each of our lives. Bear in mind that when Moses was teaching his people to remember the word of God, he never in a million years could have imagined Jesus saying this and teaching to his 12 disciples. He never could have imagined it. So all the more, we can't imagine the goodness and the fruitfulness of what's coming ahead of us. The evolutionary spirit is drawing us forth through this wilderness season and will be our guide. We count on these things. And I'm so grateful for the word of God and the silence of God, and now for the food of God that comes in this simple Eucharist in humble form. Amen. By remembering the truth, our affirmation together, and you may join in saying this at home. Gather your children and remember, God's love has always met and will always meet all my needs. I give freely and receive joyfully. And how blessed we are to simply remember God. The love of God, the grace of Christ, and the peace of the Holy Spirit be with each of us now and always.